one thing I tell a lot of people, and again, this is not what a coach usually should say, to me it's more important to be with the people you enjoy being with. And working with these guys and the guys I've worked in the past, you know, I can easily say that had we not won today, had we not even made it half this far, it would have been a great season because of the type of quality people I'm with. Now, that speaks about their parents, what they've done to develop their children. But I just cannot tell you how much I enjoy working with good people that want to listen and want to learn. I went to I also do high school soccer, and I went to a soccer coaches thing years ago, and this one guy was up, and he was giving us his thing about the beautiful game and how great, you know, the game is. And he finally said, you know, if you go out there and you're there for your child or because you want to be for this kid or that kid, he said, you've missed the entire point of the game. And I cannot tell you how wrong that man was. If you're not out there for the kids, if you don't enjoy being with the kids and can get enjoyment in losses as well as victories from the kids, you should not be in the game, because the kids or guys is what it's all about. The game is just a game.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Come on in, join us for a holiday edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. On this Thanksgiving Eve, when we are recording and dropping the podcast, you might be enjoying it during Thanksgiving Day or maybe even on Friday before you get set for whatever football game of interest you have this weekend. And we've got a double header to talk about. Oh, man, what a great weekend it's going to be here at RBA Sports Network. Can't wait. But I wanted to start the podcast off with a quote that I referred to on our podcast, our last edition, last Friday night after football. You heard the words of Colonial Heights boys volleyball coach Mark Lee following the Colonials' state championship victory last Friday afternoon in four sets over Midlothian at the Siegel Center, talking about the experience of coaching at the high school level, talking about someone that he had heard at a seminar years back, and talking about completely disagreeing with that supposed expert on the subject. And I could not agree more with what Coach Lee had to say. And I mentioned on last Friday night's podcast how impressed I was by what he said. It was one of the best quotes I'd ever heard, helping people to understand why coaches really should be coaching, what the motivation ought to be. And Coach Lee has it absolutely right. And, you know, it doesn't matter if your team wins a state championship or your team struggles and only wins two games. The most important thing is the relationships that you build during that season with the members of your team, from coach to players and players among players and players looking up to their coaches as people that are teaching them lessons that are going to serve them well for the rest of their lives. And I can tell you there are just as many, if not more, people who are working in offices around the world who played high school sports. There are a lot more who played on subpar teams, average teams, teams that lost in the first round, teams that went and only won one game the whole year, than there are teams that won state championships. But I can guarantee you that most all of the people who were on those forgettable teams when it comes to records and what we, you know, talk about all the time in the media and that area, they learned so many life lessons. And they look back and they think about the relationships they built, the lessons they learned, the coaches who were such an integral part of that part of their life as they were getting ready to transfer from teenager to adult. And Coach Lee just hit it on the head. And as he was talking and we were listening to that press conference last Friday afternoon, I could not help but just want to sit there and like I was at church and just go, amen, brother, amen, because that's how we feel the exact same way as to what we do here at the RBA Sports Network. We take pride in trying to bring notice to as many teams as possible in as many sports as possible. We can't get to everybody. We try our darndest to get to as many as we can. And then, you know, there comes a point later in the season that, yeah, we start focusing on teams that are going to be going into postseason runs because, you know, that's just the way the media works. But, you know, we have absolutely no problem whatsoever going to games where there are teams that, you know what, they work just as hard, they practice just as early and just as often, and they deserve the credit and they deserve the spotlight as well. And so, you know, we keep track. Last year, I can't remember how many, I have to go back and look at the file, how many basketball teams, different basketball teams at the high school and the college level that we watched live and tweeted, if not broadcasted, here on RBASN last year. And we're hoping to match or surpass that this season. And yes, there are going to be some teams that we see on multiple occasions. I'm sure we're going to see Monacan girls basketball quite a bit, Cosby girls basketball, Deep Run Henrico LC Bird boys basketball. You know, we've got Highland Springs boys already on two broadcasts coming up. We're at Henrico Holiday Hoops again late December. Those are natural choices, obviously. But there are going to be nights where we're going to be focusing on rivalries and teams. One of the best games that we covered in 2015 was Mills Godwin Douglas Freeman in February. I'll never forget this night. Everybody's attention was across town at Henrico Highland Springs. And it was understandably so why there was so much hype about that game. Henrico won the game, and we all know what happened from that point on. But across town, I thought, you know what? Freeman Godwin. And if you know anything about the history between those two schools, you knew it was going to be an electric atmosphere. And even though that game was ostensibly Godwin trying to clinch the final berth in Conference 11, they were trying to clinch the sixth seed in the tournament. And the game got off to an inauspicious start. There was some trouble scoring, but the game evolved and developed, and the second half became a thing of beauty. And then we went to one, then two, and then we went to triple overtime. And the atmosphere in that gym that night was absolutely unbelievable. And the heart that was shown by those two teams that night. I am so glad. I am so glad we were there. We got lucky that night. We got really lucky. But you know what? Sometimes you got to look for the hidden gems. And so it is our honor and privilege and pleasure to try to get to and focus on and spotlight as many teams as we possibly can during all the seasons that we cover, especially at the high school level, fall, winter, spring. So, but I really wanted to share that quote from Coach Lee at Colonial Heights, because I thought he just hit the nail on the head as to why coaches should be coaching. As to why those of us in the media who make the choice to cover high school sports should be doing it, what our motivation should be. It should be about the kids. It should be about bringing attention to their hard work and their dedication and their accomplishments. And it's fun to watch. It is so fun to watch. So anyway, we get that done first. And I got a couple of things on my chest. I just got to get off with it. I mean, you know, it's couple things I got to say outside of high school sports before we get going, and we'll talk football preview and we'll talk about our doubleheader broadcast this weekend. Man, I'm so excited. We're going to have a great weekend here on the RBA Sports Network. But a couple of things. And I thought about saying something on Twitter about this last night when the teams were announced, and I was sitting courtside at Randolph-Macon covering them playing Christopher Newport in men's basketball. And I thought, no, this is something you could share on the podcast. And thinking about, having a little segment maybe on the midweek edition of the podcast of some observations that I have. And there's one that I got to talk about. And that is the college football playoff. And you're like, well, this has nothing to do with RBA. I know. But as you know, here on the RBA Sports Network, we tell you that our motto at the HCS Media LLC is sports, family, life. We cover more than just sports. We certainly cover more sports than just in the RVA when it's the topic of conversation on Twitter. When we see people talking on Twitter about something, we want to see what's driving the conversation, and we want to help make that happen or be a part of it or whatever the case may be. Like, last night, it's the second half of the game, and we're in a timeout, I think. And I look down, and my Twitter feed just explodes. I mean, explodes. With all these tweets from people watching The Voice wanting to save Evan McKeel. So I thought, well, you know what? Well, we might as well help out. So we sent out the hashtag too. And unfortunately, it didn't work. But that's okay. That young man's going to be just fine. I don't personally watch The Voice, but people have told me about him. And I've heard about him. And normally my daughter would tell me about, because she watches it. But she didn't this year. because she's a freshman in college first semester. And for those of you who are freshmen in college first semester, you understand now that there's some things that you used to do all the time when you were in high school, like must-see television programs, that suddenly you don't see them anymore because you ain't got time to do it, do you? Because you're running 18 credits in your first semester? Yeah, I get it, and so does she. But, man, my feed just exploded with that, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll do my part. So we sent it out, and you know, we like to be part of the conversation. We've spent time today giving you updates on traffic because a lot of you are out there trying to get to grandma's house or to some other relative's house or somebody's coming to you. And, you know, those things are important. We feel they're important. So back to the axe I got to grind. The college football playoff standings come out. Okay. Clemson, understood. I'm having a real problem with Alabama and Oklahoma. I've had a problem with Alabama being in the top four for the last 3 weeks. I have a problem with Oklahoma being now in the top four. Let me just parcel this out for you. If you're going to look at one-loss teams, okay, and I know what the argument is going to be. College basketball I want to talk about real quick in a moment, too, and UNLV just upset number 13 Indiana. Indiana with a couple of big losses at the Maui Invitational. This is going to be a crazy college basketball season, and that's a good thing, and we'll explain why in a second. Back to college football. It is blatantly obvious now that the first 6 weeks of the college football regular season is really an elongated preseason, okay? If you're going to lose a game, if you're going to lay an egg, do it early and get it out of the way. Exhibit A, Ohio State last year, early September, at home to Virginia Tech, a team that barely qualified for the bowl, okay? They end up running the table, and everybody got enamored with that 59-0 win in the Big Ten Championship. They get in. Did they win? Yeah, they did. So they won the championship. I'm not taking that away from them. But my point is, if you lose in September or early October to a subpar team, now think about this. Alabama loses to Ole Miss, okay? Who did Oklahoma lose to? Texas. Do you know how rough of a season the Texas Longhorns are having right now? Okay. Ohio State never trailed against Michigan State. They were tied until the game-winning field goal with no time remaining. That's how close they came to knocking off a legitimate top 10 team. They lose, and they've been pretty much pronounced dead in the college football playoff. You could see it on the field afterwards. You could see Urban Meyer leaving the field. You could see the players. They knew that their chances to go back and try to repeat as national champions are likely done. You know why? Not because they lost. It's because they lost in November. And they lost to a much better quality team than Alabama lost to, and Lord knows a much better team than Oklahoma lost to. But because of when you lose, that has so much now to do with this decision-making process for this college football playoff. Frankly, I don't like it. I think if you're going to do a tournament, I have said for ages that the minimum number of teams you should have is eight because you've got five power conferences. So if you only got four spots, that means one of the champions can't make it. You'll win your conference and you can't make it, can't have a chance to play for the national championship. Now, you old schoolers who are listening, you'll understand this. And for those of you who are in this new generation, you won't. But let me take you back to the archaic days of the NCAA basketball tournament. Let me take you to the year 1974. Prior to 1975, you had to win your conference to make the NCAA tournament. There were no at-large bids. Conference winners win. And it was up to the conference to decide, would you have the regular season champion move on, or is it going to be the tournament champion that moves on? And so, you know, the ACC tournament's been around for 60-plus years, and it's one of the greatest events, in my view, in terms of just history and pageantry in all of sports. And it's on my bucket list. I want to get to one before I leave this earth. It doesn't have the prestige that it did, say, 20, 25, 30, 35 years ago. You know, and when we got into the age where 6-7 teams from the ACC made the tournament, and the ACC's now got 25 teams, it's just not the same anymore. But in 1974, two of the top, if memory serves me correctly, four or five ranked teams in the nation were in the ACC. North Carolina State, led by David Thompson, Maryland, led by John Lucas, Len Elmore, et cetera, et cetera. They end up playing in the tournament championship game, triple overtime. NC State prevails. NC State got a bid to the NCAA tournament, and maybe you know, maybe you don't. At that point, UCLA had won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight championships dating back to 1967. And it was that NC State team in the Final Four at the national semifinals who knocked off UCLA, also, if memory serves me correctly, in overtime, in order to end that reign, and then they beat Marquette that Monday night for the national championship. As an aside, I'm a huge NC State fan, and that team is why. I was 6 years old, and David Thompson just mesmerized me. Before there was Michael Jordan, there was David Thompson. If you've never watched him, look him up on YouTube. Unbelievable. So, in 1974-75 season comes around, and the NCAA scraps the one-team rule and starts putting at-large teams into the tournament because they realized Maryland loses by 3 points in triple overtime in one game, and because they lost at the worst possible time in the tournament, they can't go play for a national championship, and they were one of the five best teams in the country that year. All right, it just didn't make any sense. Now we transfer over to this college football playoff, and you've got five power conferences and four slots. So somebody's going to win their conference even more than losing your conference tournament championship game. You're going to win your conference and not get a chance to play for the national championship. All because a group of people decided that this person or this team had a more impressive performance than someone else, and they conveniently forget other performances. Oklahoma losing to Texas is so far out of their realm right now, they don't care. Because Oklahoma is impressing them now. Okay, then why do we have a 12-game regular season? I mean, it should be coming down to just 6-6. The first six, it's like, okay, you know, if you're going to lay an egg, do it then. But when you get to the back six, you better go 6-0. And you better hope your schedule, this is actually teams are now kind of hoping, like all the Big 12 teams, are kind of hoping that their schedule's backloaded with some of the tougher opponents so they can get those impressive wins so they can impress this committee. There needs to be 8 teams. I think there actually should be 16. There's enough bowl games where they could use the bowl games and they would actually mean something. I mean, do you really watch the Military Bowl? Do you watch the Sun Bowl? Do you care? You know, the Sun Bowl actually was something that we cared about back when I was a kid. It was that New Year's Eve bowl that always played late in the afternoon on CBS. And it kind of got us juked and ready and jazzed up for New Year's Day, because New Year's Day used to be the bomb. Now, I know that it was a flawed system and they'd play the games all day and all night. And then you'd wake up the next morning and a bunch of voters in the AP and the UPI would decide a national champion. And sometimes they'd disagree and you'd have co-champions. And all of us would go, oh, man, they need to have a playoff. I'm talking, this was 1970 something. OK, you know, and now we've got one, but it's so flawed. It is so flawed. And so, you know, the lesson that we have learned so far with this new system is that if you're going to lose, lose early. And it really doesn't matter who you lose to, because apparently you can't have a bad enough loss if you're impressive enough in November. So, yeah, I'm hoping Alabama and Oklahoma fall. I do. I'm hoping Stanford beats Notre Dame. You know, Clemson can see them in after that. You know, what are they going to do if South Carolina beats Clemson Saturday? Clemson's going to be done. And I can argue to you that Texas beating Oklahoma was just as bad of a loss, if not worse. And yet Oklahoma with a loss would get in. And I guarantee you Clemson with a loss Thanksgiving weekend, gone. So spent longer than I wanted to on that, but it's really bugging me. And it's one of the reasons why I stop watching college football at the end of the regular season. My college football interest pretty much ends at the Army-Navy game. Will I keep up with what's happening in bowl games of local interest? Sure. You know, if Tech makes a bowl game, sure, absolutely. If NC State's in a bowl game, obviously I'm interested in that to a point. But, you know, if they end up playing in the Music City Bowl, it's not like I'm going to rearrange my schedule to watch the game, or I'm not even going to DVR it, frankly. I'll just see what happens. And obviously we'll cover and watch the playoffs simply because you guys are talking about it on Twitter. But other than that, as a fan myself, taking the media hat off and putting just the fan hat on, college football is almost irrelevant to me after this weekend. Next weekend's conference championship games are okay. Yeah, that's fine. I can see them. And I'm a big fan of Army Navy. Always have been, always will be. And go Navy. Sorry, Army. My dad was in the Navy. That's why. But after that, I'm off to college basketball. So speaking of college basketball, this is going to be a great year. This is going to be a fantastic year. I love years where you go into the season And there's not a team that everyone's talking about that's going to run the table. Last year, Kentucky, and I got so tired of hearing about Kentucky. And so when Wisconsin knocked them out, I was thrilled. I was like, yes, thank you. Duke-Wisconsin National Championship, only tie that I had personally with it was I do like to see an ACC school win. I'm an ACC fan. I grew up in ACC country. It's just the way I've always been wired. The only ACC team that I definitely wouldn't root for was Maryland, and I don't have that problem anymore because they've gone to the Big Ten. Good riddance. But this year is going to be so much fun because there's so much talent. There are so many great individuals to watch. The Simmons kid at LSU. But there's many others, too. And there are, right now, I'd say at least a dozen teams that legitimately have a shot come March. And all of the things that are going to have to shake out, and some of the big upsets we're going to see come conference play in January, February, and tournament shockers in early March that will affect the seedings. And we may end up with some games in the third round or the Sweet 16 that here in November we think, oh, that's a potential Final Four matchup. And they may end up playing the first weekend of the tournament. And you just don't know who's going to, you know, come out of it. Those are the best seasons to me for college basketball, because then the NCAA tournament is wide open and somebody can make a magical run. And, you know, not a lot of people talk about UConn in 2004 when they were totally expected to win and they ran the table and beat Georgia Tech without a problem in the national championship game. People are still over 30 years later talking about Jim Valvano at NC State's run in 83 and then Raleigh Massimino and Villanova's run in 85 playing literally the perfect game to beat Georgetown in the national title game. We're still talking about, and not just my people, but I'm talking about my kids' people, your generation. You're talking about them because you've watched the 30 for 30s and you've seen the games on ESPN Classic, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the great stories, the fantastic stories. And something else that if you go back to college football, if they expanded the tournament to 16 teams, and please don't tell me anything about, oh, they'll miss school time. They're playing over Christmas. They'll be done early January. So, yeah, you can expand it. Then there's a possibility for a team that literally, legitimately had a tough loss late in the season. They won't be penalized. They'll get a second chance, and they could run the table. As opposed to, well, we lost our bad game in September, so we can get in. You lost your bad game Thanksgiving weekend, so you're done. Even though you're both 11-1. Okay, so. All right, now that we're done with that, I get off my soapbox. I rarely get on it, but I just was really bugging me last night. It's going to be a great season of college basketball here in the area. It already is. Richmond's women off to a 4-0 start. On their way, and in fact, I think now in Miami, getting ready for a tournament this weekend. We wondered about how their inside play would be after they lost a couple of players to graduation, Genevieve Okoro being one of them. But man, their perimeter play has been, oh man, we knew that would be their strength, but it's been solid and only getting better. And I saw head coach Michael Schaefer tweet something earlier today, said, if we play like we practiced today, we're going to be pretty good. And that's something for Coach Schaefer to say. That is something for him. So, and Will Wade's refreshing honesty at a press conference on Tuesday about VCU and how they handled the 2K Classic up at Madison Square Garden, what they learned, what they can do, what they need to do to get better. Loved it. Loved it. Very refreshing to hear what he had to say. Talking with Coach Merkel up at Randolph-Macon last night after their loss to Christopher Newport. Very young team again. They're 1-3. But they, you know, they were in a game against the team that's picked to win the Capital Athletic Conference, which Coach was a member of last year before coming over here to Randolph-Macon. And they were in the game. They got it within 7 on multiple occasions in the second half, and they had plenty of opportunities where they could have cut it to 4-2, even tied the game, but they couldn't get on a roll. And a lot of it's mental, a lot of it's communication. They're still learning each other. You can only get those lessons by playing games. But Macon's going to be okay. It's just going to take some time. And Macon fans, you're going to have some bumpy rides this season, okay? Last season was magical. This season is going to be building for seasons to come. So patience, have patience. And VCU's women with a great performance in terms of defense. I know they got off to a slow start scoring against Campbell Tuesday night. So did Campbell, obviously. But VCU got it going offensively, and they never let Campbell back into the game, held them to 34 points. And so Atlantic 10 women's basketball is going to be fun to watch this year, too, as we do each year with the tournament coming to Richmond. This year, March 2nd through the 6th. All right, let's get to football. football, there's two big games on Friday night, two big games on Saturday. First on Friday, rematch of the first football game we had here on RVA Sports Network back on August 28th. We were there in Chester on that first Friday night of the season, and we broadcasted Thomas Dale hosting Cosby. Season opener, both teams looked like they were playing August football. It was not the prettiest performance. The Knights got it going late first half and then through the second half, and they won 30-17. Cosby at one point later in the season was 3-4 going to James River. They haven't lost since. They're 5-0 in that stretch since they headed to James River for that rivalry game October 23rd. Now they return to where their season started, 7 o'clock kickoff on Friday night. Our Taylor Luck will be there to do live tweet coverage at TaylorRVASN on Twitter, and of course we'll be retweeting his tweets on Chesterfield Sports all night long. So if you can't get to Cosby Thomas Dale, we've got you covered on Twitter at Chesterfield Sports, or give our correspondent Taylor a follow on Twitter. You'll be glad you did. He's at big games all the time, and he usually tweets once or twice a week at games. He's working with us here at the network. He's also working out with the Hanover Herald Progress, where I write the sports section each week, and has been a great addition to our football coverage this year. And so we've got you covered on Twitter for Cosby Thomas Dale. Kick is at 7 o'clock kick in Chester on Friday night. Both teams 8-4. Now, the good news is the winner goes to the state semis. The bad news is the winner has to play the winner of Ocean Lakes Oscar Smith. Those two unbeaten Titans down in the 757 are colliding at the same time on Friday night, and that game will be at Oscar Smith. They're the one seed. And so the winner of that one will get the winner of Cosby Thomas Dale. And obviously, the winner of Cosby Thomas Dale is going to have to make the road trip the following weekend. But that's going to be a good game, Cosby Thomas Dale. Both teams so much different than what they were August 28th. You can take that game and throw it out the window. It has almost no bearing to what's going to happen on Friday night. 5A South. As you know, the reign of L.C. Byrd has come to a close. Hermitage knocks them out, moves on, and it's now the rematch with Highland Springs, the only team to beat Highland Springs this year. Hermitage, opening night, August 28th, at Kreider Stadium, 21-20 in overtime. That game is scheduled for Saturday at 1, and RVA Sports Network will provide live and exclusive online radio coverage of the Panthers and the Springers. We will hit the air on our RVA Sports Network YouTube channel at 12:45 on Saturday afternoon. The only place you're going to be able to hear the game, Hermitage Highland Springs, is here on the RVA Sports Network, and we are proud, unbelievably proud, to have this opportunity to bring this coverage to you. So make sure, right now, while you're listening, just go to YouTube.com, type in RVA Sports Network in their search engine, our page will come up, subscribe to the page. And if you do that, you will never miss a broadcast from the RVA Sports Network. All of our broadcasts are listed on our websites. Just look on the right-hand side of the page at rvasportsnetwork.com or our other three county-centric websites, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, ChesterfieldCountySports.net. Link to our YouTube page are on the websites as well. But if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, then you'll never miss a scheduled broadcast. And we've already got, 15 basketball broadcasts scheduled and more to come. Starting next Monday night, we'll talk about that before we go. But Hermitage Highland Springs, the rematch. Hermitage coming in 12-0. Highland Springs has won 11 in a row since that overtime loss on August 28th. They have not lost since before Labor Day. They had a tussle with Lee Davis last week. Man, oh man, were the Confederates impressive last Friday night. And again, for anybody who may have thought I was a little off base about saying Ryan Turnage was the coach of the year in the Central Region, after that performance last week, arguably that was Lee Davis's best performance of the year. Remember, 6 weeks earlier, they had lost to Highland Springs at home, 42-0. We were at that game. We did that game. And it was not close at all. And Lee Davis learned from that. They built from that. And they came in and almost knocked the Springers out at home. What an upset that would have been. But Highland Springs survives. And now they got to find a way to take out Hermitage. 1 o'clock kickoff. We go on the air at 12:45 here live on the RVA Sports Network on our YouTube channel. Panthers Springers cannot wait. Winner of that game will get the winner of Indian River and undefeated Hampton down in the other side of the 5A South bracket. Their final two teams are the one seed and the three seed. Indian River at Hampton, and that is a Friday night game. So once that game has been played on Friday night, we will know on Saturday before kickoff where the winner of Hermitage Highland Springs will go for, excuse me, the regional championship. And I'm looking it up really quick. One piece of show prep that I forgot to do, and that is to look at the final rankings. And if memory serves me correctly, yes, Highland Springs was the number one overall seed in 5A South. Hermitage was second. Hampton was fourth. Indian River was sixth. So if, and this is a big if, boy, did we learn last week that just because something's on the Virginia High School League website doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it's happening when it came to the 4A East situation and the cross-bracketing that was never mentioned. Anyway, if they allow the higher seed to host, then the winner of Highland Springs Hermitage should host the state semifinal. But if they're doing alternating years, for all we know, the 804 team may have to go to the 757 team. So we'll let the powers that be at the region and the VHSL tell us what's going to happen there. And hopefully Saturday at the stadium we'll be able to find out. But if they do it by power rating, then the winner of Hermitage Highland Springs should host the state semifinal because they're 1-2 in 5A South. Hampton, the top team down at the 757, was the fourth seed overall in the region. 4A East is where we will be on Friday night for the first game of our playoff weekend doubleheader. We're heading to Norfolk for Hanover Lake Taylor 4A East regional semi, or a 4A state quarterfinal is what we're referring to them as. Hanover at 9-3, the only team left in 4A East that does not have 10 wins. In fact, the only team left in 4A period that has yet to win 10 games. Lake Taylor's unbeaten. They're 12-0, two-time defending state champions. You know the story about how they survived last year in the state semis against Monacan. Monacan blocked the game-winning field goal, thought the game was over, started celebrating, and Lake Taylor realized that the play was not over. The ball was still alive. They picked it up, ran it in for the game-winning touchdown, and stunned the world. And they ended up going all the way, and Monacan's hearts were broken. Lake Taylor, 2 years ago on the way to the state championship in the second round, knocked out Hanover 35-3. But that was a totally different Hanover team. Hanover had scrimmaged Lake Taylor that August, and it wasn't pretty. They went back down there after beating Churchland in the first round, and they were soundly defeated. But Hanover gets Clayton Cheatham back. Hanover's defense, incredibly impressive performance against Dinwiddie, giving up the two touchdowns late, but for over three quarters, they were holding the Generals, who had been averaging 40 points a game down the stretch, to just three. And so if Hanover's defense can make some big plays, and Hanover's offense can again win the war on the line of scrimmage, win the time of possession battle, keep the Titans off the field, then yes, Hanover can beat Lake Taylor. It is definitely a possibility. So Hanover goes down there with a much better chance of winning, say, than they did two seasons ago when they were young, first season under Derek Stout, and still just kind of getting their sea legs back after losing the graduating class the year before that included Sam Rogers, Andrew Kisner, etc. Winner of that game gets the winner of Lafayette and Cortland. Think about Lafayette for a moment. They went undefeated. They are now 12-0, but they have to go to Cortland on Friday night. They got to leave the Williamsburg area and head to Spotsylvania County. No matter what happens, Hanover, if they win, if they beat Lake Taylor, they will have to travel in the region final next week. They'd have to go to Lafayette if they win. They'd have to go to Cortland if Cortland wins. So Hanover's last home game of the year was this past Friday night, the win over Dinwiddie. The other side of the bracket in 4A, the West bracket, they've got their 1, 2, 3, and 5 teams left, and nobody has a record worse than 11-1. There's three unbeaten teams, and the 5 seed is an 11-1 team. That is a powerful region on the other side of the 4A bracket. 3A East, Saturday afternoon, the other Saturday game, Hopewell hosting James Monroe. 1-2. Hopewell gets to host at Myrner Field. 2 o'clock kickoff. Common opponent this year, Dinwiddie. James Monroe started the season against Dinwiddie in their opener for both teams, and Dinwiddie got the win. Since then, though, James Monroe has done a pretty good job. They've only lost one other game, and that game was to Cortland, the 4A team that we just talked about a moment ago. That was the one seed ahead of Hanover in that 19-20 conference 8-team subregion, and that was on the 30th of October. So they reeled off 7 straight wins, then they lost, and then they've won 3. One at the regular season finale over King George, and then they beat Armstrong. They won last week in the second round, and now they get set to come to Hopewell. Cameron Hill and company? Yeah, but why not? Hopewell definitely has a chance to get to the state semifinal. Now, they're going to cross bracket after this round, which means Hopewell, if they win, going to play somebody from 3A West in the state semifinals. The matchups there, their numbered 1 and 2 seeds are gone. Number 8 Stanton River is going to number 4 Magna Vista, who's 10-2. And number 7 Abingdon and number 3 Lord Botetourt are getting together, and they're both 11-1. So even though their 1 and 2 seeds are out over in 3A West, and that was a 16-team all-in format, they didn't split into 2 8-team pods. They've still got some powerhouse teams left in that tournament. And if Hopewell gets a win, they're going to face somebody out of that foursome in the state semifinals. Was talking with, I believe, the AD at James Monroe on Twitter over the weekend, talking about in 3A, they wait until after the third round and they cross. So it's possible that, you know, the two survivors from 3A East could meet for the state championship, or the two from 3A West could meet for the state title, which is commonplace in other sports in VHSL, as you know, that, you know, the North region winner gets the South runner-up in the state semis and vice versa. And, you know, if the South winner wins and the South runner-up knocks off the North region winner, then the two South teams who played each other in the region final are going to play again for a state championship. It doesn't happen much in football, but in 3A, they do have the opportunity, the possibility of that happening. So good luck to Hopewell on Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff against James Monroe in the 3A state quarterfinal. So again, just to remind you, our broadcasts, game of the week, Hanover Lake Taylor, Friday night. This one will be on WHAN Radio, 102.9 FM, 1430 AM. If you're in the Tri-Cities, Southern Chesterfield, outlying areas, and you can't pick up WHAN, which is predominantly north of the river, downtown area, and parts of Chesterfield, and we could get into a long explanation as to why it doesn't cover the whole Richmond area, and maybe we'll do that one time on a future podcast, but not this one. It will be on the air at 6:30. With the On the Sidelines pregame show, powered by Sheehy Ford of Ashland, live from Norfolk. Kickoff will be at 7 p.m. Then Saturday, we're at Kreider Stadium at Highland Springs. That game is online only. It is not on WHAN. Now, Friday night's game also available online on the RVA Sports Network at rvasportsnetwork.com, hanovercountysports.net. You can get Saturday's game online, 12:45, Hermitage Highland Springs. Listen live on the RVA Sports Network. Just go to our YouTube channel. The link will be there, or the link's available on our websites, which include rvasportsnetwork.com. And for this game, of course, obviously, henricocountysports.net. Going to be a great doubleheader and a fun 24 hours. The travel down to Norfolk and back and through the tunnel I'm not looking forward to, but other than that, holy cow, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hanover Lake Taylor should be good Friday night, and Highland Springs Hermitage, just strap your seatbelts. That's all I can say. 1 o'clock Saturday should be fun. Current weather forecast, a very slight chance of a couple of showers on Saturday. Friday evening's game should actually be pretty comfortable. Temperatures down at the coast are going to be in the 50s, maybe falling into the 40s before the game is over, but nothing like this past Friday night back up here in Richmond, where we were close to freezing by the time games were done on Friday night in round 2. It was a chilly Friday night this past week, and we've been blessed. We've had great weather, except for that one early October Friday where everything got postponed. We've had good weather and some good temperatures. We haven't frozen a lot. The hot chocolate sales are down overall this year, and Friday night may not be so bad. I'd still take a jacket if you were going to your game. Whether it be Thomas Dale, you're here back home, or if you're coming down with us to Norfolk for Hanover and Lake Taylor. Got to also quickly mention over in 1A, good luck to Essex. They have a Saturday state quarterfinal, number 1 seed in 1A East. Sussex Central making the trip up to Essex County. Essex at 10-1, Sussex Central at 9-2. So good luck to both of those teams. just outside of our coverage area. We don't normally cover them on a regular basis, but certainly with them at this particular level, want to give them a shout out and best of luck. Central Lunenburg is also still alive in 1A East. They're the sixth seed, and they got to go to unbeaten number two Riverheads. That's a Friday night game, and we wish Central Lunenburg good luck as well. All right, that's football coming up this weekend. Other things coming up this weekend. We will be releasing our preseason top 10 polls in boys and girls basketball Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Twitter at TheRVASportsNet on our main Twitter feed. So our top 10 preseason polls for boys and girls basketball will be on Sunday night, 8 p.m. You'll get to see them and digest them before you start watching Sunday night football. And Brady versus Osweiler won. Doesn't have the ring to it. I'm sure NBC is not very happy about that. But anyway, so look for them, top 10 polls. And then, of course, the season starts Monday. Some private schools have already started. The VHSL schools start officially on Monday. There are a few games in the area. Hopewell Meadowbrook boys will be a good one to start on Monday night. Glen Allen girls start their season at Lee Davis. We will be at Mills Godwin, and we're going to have live girls basketball action for you on the RVA Sports Network. It'll be Manchester and Mills Godwin, 7:30 tip-off time. So join us on our YouTube channel Monday night at 7:30. The Lancers and the Eagles will tip our 2015-16 high school football coverage. Other sports getting set to get going. There was some wrestling scrimmages. There's going to be some on Saturday. I know there's going to be some basketball scrimmages on Saturday as well. Atlee is hosting a couple of teams in girls basketball action. Got to give a hearty and big congratulations to Swim Chesterfield. You realize, I don't know if you know the story or not, but less than 6 months ago, Swim Chesterfield was an idea. And a bunch of parents and a bunch of students who are swimmers who wanted to see Chesterfield County Schools finally make headway towards having Virginia High School League sanctioned swimming teams there. They started putting a plan together, and they got school board approval. And this past Friday night, down at the Collegiate School Aquatic Center at Swim RVA, they had the first ever swim meet in Chesterfield County club swimming history. 9 of the 10 schools represented. Heartiest congratulations to everyone who made that a reality so quickly. A couple of 100-plus swimmers involved in the events, and we posted all the team scores and top 5 from each event over at ChesterfieldCountySports.net back on Saturday. And just so impressed by what they have done down there. Chesterfield is hoping to be VHSL approved in 2 years. They're hoping that in the winter of 2017-18 that they will be competing at the same level as the Hanover County Schools, Maggie Walker, Colonial Heights. This is Henrico County's. They're getting ready to start their 3rd year of club swimming, and they're hoping that they're going to get VHSL approved next year. So it's possible in 24 months we could go from having 6 swimming teams in the Richmond area VHSL sanctioned to upwards of 25, depending upon how many schools in Henrico and Chesterfield go full bore. Now, not all of them will. In Henrico, there's a few schools that are coming together to share a club team right now as they're still building them at some of the schools that don't have as much interest in swimming, predominantly northeast side of the county as opposed to over in the west side, where, of course, you know, you've got Nova Swimming over there in the west end off of Gayton Road, which is a huge, you know, get right there. And a lot of the swimmers from Henrico County swim there and swim for them. But just hats off to Swim Chesterfield. What an incredible work in less than 6 months to put that together. And they'll have a few more meets, including a very interesting one early February. They're going to have a meet where the Chesterfield Club Schools and the Henrico Club Schools all get together and have a big meet. And that one's going to be really fun. And we're going to try to put that on our calendar. I can't promise yet because we haven't looked that far ahead to see what's going on February 5th and how storylines flow and whatnot. And on Friday nights and Monday nights, I have to kind of make sure that I'm also available for my work with the Hanover Herald Progress. But if we can fit it in our schedule, we're going to do our darndest to be there on the 5th of February down at the Collegiate School Aquatic Center. Speaking of swimming, that gets underway Tuesday night in earnest. Maggie Walker and Atlee will go at it at Randolph-Macon. That is the first official VHSL swim meet scheduled. And Hanover is getting a tournament of sorts together this year, a la Kikatan, and we're getting information on that, and we'll have more of that for you coming up. But swimming, wrestling, gymnastics for the schools that are involved in that, indoor track getting going next week, and, of course, basketball. So lots of stuff to talk about as the seasons now get intertwined briefly. We have six teams officially left in football, when, and two of them are going to be eliminated this week with Thomasdale Cosby head-to-head, Hermitage Highland Springs head-to-head. You know, if Hanover Hopewell can win their games and then the two winners of the two head-to-head games I just mentioned a second ago, we'd have four teams in state semifinal action next weekend. And for the 804, that would be pretty good. Some of the, you know, situations, like in 4A East, it was I was sad to see that, you know, Dinwiddie Monacan had to play each other first round, and then the winner ended up having to go to Hanover. You know, we've had such good teams at that level that we could have had two right now at this level rather than one, but the brackets just didn't work out that way. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So, all right, a couple of house cleaning notes as we wrap up this edition of the podcast. First of all, our regular post-Friday night football podcast is going to be delayed to Saturday evening simply because two of our four big games are going to be on Saturday. So, you know, to do a podcast late Friday night doesn't make much sense when we're staring at Hermitage Highland Springs 12 hours later. We want to be able to debrief all the games. And so our Central Region Now post-football playoff broadcast, or podcast, I should say, will be on Saturday evening. We will come home from Hermitage Highland Springs and get the podcast up as soon as possible for you. Don't forget preseason polls on Twitter on Sunday night for basketball at the RVA Sportsnet on Twitter. That's at the RVA Sportsnet. And then our live basketball coverage online begins Monday night at Mills Godwin, Manchester, at Mills Godwin Girls Basketball. We will go on just before 7:30. PM. And we'd also be remiss if we didn't say happy Thanksgiving and thank you. Over this weekend, between our three county-centric Twitter feeds, Hanover Sports, Henrico Sports, and Chesterfield Sports, we crossed a significant barrier. We crossed the 15,000 follower barrier, which just absolutely blows my mind. Never thought in our wildest dreams. You know, my daughter and I, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago, just kind of talking about things and planning things out. And, you know, we'd look at each other and said, you know what, if you were able to get, you know, 10,000 followers out of these Twitter feeds, that would be just awesome. That would be incredible. And your response has been so much more than that, that we crossed that. And now we're at 15,000. And that doesn't count those of you who follow the RVA Sportsnet, our main Twitter feed. And, you know, for statistical purposes, we don't put that in there because we know a lot of people follow one of our county feeds, and they also follow the RVA Sportsnet for coverage of sports throughout the Richmond area. We get that. So for, you know, purposes of that, we don't put that together. We're just talking about the three county feeds. We cannot thank you enough for your support, for being with us on Twitter, for being with us on Facebook, for being with us on other social media, for downloading and listening to this podcast, for listening to the broadcasts, both radio and in football season, online, all year long. You humble us with what you give to us, and that is your attention, your time, and your trust that we will give you the information accurately, dependably, and at the same time, we have some fun as well. So from my wife, who owns HCS Media LLC, I do not, she does, and from our family, from all the Withams, I want to wish you and yours a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. Be safe if you're traveling. Be safe if you're coming down to Norfolk with us on Friday night. Be safe if you're just going across town or up the street Friday night to see Thomasdale Cosby. Same thing Saturday, traveling to Highland Springs and Hopewell. And if you're out of town because of the holiday and can't get to the games, again, we'll have Hanover Lake Taylor live for you online and on WHAN radio Friday night. We'll have Hermitage Highland Springs live for you online exclusively on Saturday afternoon. And we'll keep you posted on both Thomasdale Cosby Friday night and Hopewell James Monroe Saturday afternoon on Twitter. Thank you, everybody. It means so much what you entrust us with. And we take it seriously. We take it humbly, and we just appreciate each and every one of you. We really, really do. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with your family and friends, college kids who are home for the break. Please be safe as you head back home to your second home and get ready for finals. As a parent, I'm getting ready to deal with that for the first time with my daughter when she heads back to Longwood for two more weeks, and then she's home for the holidays. I don't know, maybe I can get her to get back here and get back on the sideline with me, do some photography work and whatnot like she had when she was in high school. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RBA Sports Network and designed solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast, reuse of the podcast without express written consent of HCS Media LLC is prohibited. Enjoy football tomorrow. Enjoy your turkey, ham. I'm a cranberry sauce fan myself. I'm also not team gravy. Nah, I like it dry. Talk to you Friday night live from Norfolk and Saturday at Highland Springs.